I was actually pretty good.
Good.
Just closer you get to Salem, the smoke is settled and it smells like gasoline almost.
Oh, really?
I thought it was, I was behind an older van when I was on the parkway.
Yeah?
And I thought, yeah, you know? And then it just stayed there, so I switched to recycled air and all of a sudden
I guess
it was much better.
Our turn to get it, because you guys had it worse than we did
last
week.
Yeah. Those darn Canadians burning their forests.
Yeah. It's Marathon anyway.
Exactly.
Crying out loud.
Exactly.
There
so there's
you
your there's your Rajneesh.
Oh, good. Good. Just remember, get
keep
my
you
water.
Off the streets.
Well, it might. It might not. I didn't realize there's any pain today, or I would have warned you.
It's okay. I usually park kind of up the street from yours.
You know, when you live alone and everything is the way you want it to be at all times, when you got stuff like this going on, it drives me nuts.
Well, it's funny because when I came up the road, I thought, has it been that hot that she had to cover her hydrangeas? I mean, geez Louise.
Boy, she must be a finicky old broad.
Finicky.
You know what? I'm going to put you away because I know what you're going to do. You're going to bug me to sit in my lap the entire time. Come here. Let's go put you away. Come here. No, I'm not playing. Come on. Good girl, Hop. Yeah, that's good girl. Let's put you away. Won't hurt. I don't want any interruptions. How's your shoulder?
Yeah, it's getting better.
I
can do this.
Are you taking a lot of therapy?
Well, yeah, and the therapy is really minor at this point, simply because the nerves are still stretched. Mm-hmm. So it's just trying to make, you know, get a little muscle tone back. So when the nerves are there.
I bet it feels odd, doesn't it?
Well, I can't do that.
No, I know it. I know it. My son-in-law just went through it. Now he's got to have the other shoulder done.
Oh, yeah?
Farmer, so you can see how he's done his in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm anxious to go through this.
Have you talked to Denny since he's been reading a couple of chapters?
No, I didn't know he was reading a couple chapters.
I gave him the 1982 election because he's kind of the center of it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then he was actually enthused about the voice and all that. So I gave him 1974 and 78 elections as well.
Good.
And so
that's his niche.
That's his niche.
Mm-hmm.
And he has lots and lots of things, much of which make Denny look much better. And some of them, if I can verify them, I will put them in. But if I can't verify them,
I know.
I stick with what I got. Gotta say.
Typical Denny. Typical Denny. Typical. You know, I just an aside. All this that's going on in Washington D.C. What's his name? They call him the Mooch.
Yeah, Scaramucci.
Wanting to have the direct access to the president.
Yeah.
We went through that big time.
It's question number two, actually.
Oh, really?
Not that, but there's. I want to get your story about Denny, staff, etc. And I've written the chapter on running the governor's office. I'm not even sure it will go back in. But it will go back in because of him being rehired when there was an expectation that he would go off and do other things. And he's talked about that, so it's not going to be a surprise to him. But, you know, that is important to have that little piece. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. It's just the whole 10 days of Scaramouche and, you know, all the stuff that I've been going to, the drama here, not nowhere near as much, but there's a cockiness there. And Denny's quite upfront about it, and I found a lot of verifying stuff. People were pissed off by that cockiness. And, you know, he learned how to live with it, and some people learned how to live with it, and some people didn't. But the governor wanted him, so... It's just fascinating.
Well, that's where he got in trouble initially, is Lee Johnson didn't want him included in anything.
Yeah.
And I think Lee just couldn't stand Denny as a person.
Yeah.
Period. End of subject. And that fermented feelings about Denny amongst that group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not include Denny in anything. Well, then when I came in, and you need to know, I wasn't real fond of Denny either. I mean, and of course, he immediately had been in and talked to the governor about having direct access. He wasn't going to feed through me, and that's mm-hmm. why this all comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor just basically said, you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't mind him having access to the governor, but if I was going to do my job as was billed by the governor as being his alter ego,
right,
I wasn't going to be excluded on anything.
Yeah.
And I also viewed my role as making sure that the governor got the straight stories or that he got enough opinions that he could weigh his own.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny can be very heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And that always bothered me. Not that I thought the governor would crumble to him, but it bothered me because Denny would not give in.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not black, it's not black, and I'm not going to give in, and I won't accept anybody else's opinion. And that's the way he would approach things with the governor.
Right.
A lot of the times that was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, it was my recommendation we bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was that the... he could debate any issue with the governor. I mean any issue. And he could take whatever side was necessary. And you have no idea how many times I would say, okay, Denny, you need to go in there and argue the case against whatever or mm-hmm. argue the case for. And debate prep. He was excellent at debate prep.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I really, this sounds egotistical on my part, and I don't mean it that way at all, but I really think the governor was concerned. He was concerned about the feelings about Denny. He thought it would abate in time, and it didn't. It just
right.
It continued, got worse. And the right. press did not like him
right.
at all. Media had no use for Denny. And but I knew Denny would do the campaign, and that's why I took him out and sent him up to Portland for the campaign. And the governor was all for that.
Mm-hmm.
He figured Denny would really mm-hmm. manage the campaign well, and he did. And of course, I laid a strict law down that nobody on governor's staff was to be involved in the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. And that we weren't to inform Denny what was happening unless it was something of a critical nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then when it was time to come back in, there was no promise to Denny that he'd be back. None.
Right.
And I had told him, Denny, yeah. I'm sorry. You got to stop your PERS, you got to stop your health insurance, you got to do, but you're doing it for the boss. And to this day, he's still not real happy with me about it.
Yeah.
But that's the way it could be.
Yeah.
Well, and in the meantime, Paul Phillips is trying to negotiate directly with the governor, let him go out and run for office but stay on the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no way. That ain't going to happen on my watch.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have that coming back at us.
Yeah.
And Paul, to this day, doesn't speak to me.
Yeah.
Well, came time, the campaign's over, and governor says, what do you want to do? And I said, as far as I'm concerned, Dave Fiscombe's done one whale of a job, and he had. And I said, I would take Dave in a minute, but personally I think we owe it to Denny to bring him back. And that's another time when the governor said, okay, go handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think governor would have brought Dave back.
Yeah.
because he liked Dave a lot.
Yeah.
And he had a whole different temperament.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then you guys use Dave in a fascinating way. He becomes your liaison with Baloney Joe's and
all. Yep, I put him on the streets in Portland.
Exactly.
He was our street person.
Yeah.
Did you interviewed Dave?
No, I haven't. I haven't interviewed him. Haven't interviewed him yet. Because I needed to have more than just, so what was it like when you were there for the 6 months? And that's the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Rajneesh side. So yeah, it's
Dave's a great guy.
Yeah.
He really is. Yeah. Anyway, all this that's going on in Washington, D.C. is just, I'm getting flashbacks like you can't believe, because Denny would have given his eye teeth to have direct access. And I said, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll never intervene, but I want you to let me know what you're going in there for, because I'm not going to be left out of the loop ever.
Right.
Not ever,
right.
ever.
Right. Well, fascinating to me, because then when Denny takes on the campaign job, he demands that there are no private meetings with the consultant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he wants it his way, but then he wants it the other way.
Did he tell you the story where he almost quit over it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 Different.
Yeah. So, yeah. Fascinating. Fascinating, fascinating.
Typical inner circles of offices.
Yeah.
But I just am so fascinated with what's going on in the White House.
I mean, you've watched government and been a part of government for a long time. There's always something that people want to do. So you guys, there were things that the governor wanted to do. I got to tell you, at the end of the 79 session, his plans for the future were pretty weak. I talked to Denny about this at one point. I said, you know, what do you think he would have done without the recessions? Because there's not much there except, you know, let's make government more friendly for business kind of things. And things would have come up. But then the recession, you know, that's it. Boom. And then it's, my God, we've got to get this economy going again. So there's a real purpose there. But in the White House right now, the only purpose is, are you loyal to Trump? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's no policy. There's mm-hmm. not even, as we saw with the healthcare thing, mm-hmm. there's not even repealing a policy. Mm-hmm. There's nothing except, are you loyal to the president?
Well, and in some ways, and I'm going to say things I'll probably regret, maybe we can go off the record. Can we do that?
Sure, sure.
In some ways, and you know that I adored and I loved him. I absolutely loved Vic Atieh, and there were things about him that I thought were absolutely unbelievably good. Almost too good to be true. But he was a little bit like I'm viewing Donald Trump. Vic got his jolly, so to speak, being out in the public, mm-hmm. getting their feedback, being their friend. And as you can see, he just spent...
Oh, yeah.
He was never in the office, Jim.
Yeah.
Unless he had to be.
Yeah.
He just was never in the office. And I kind of see that in Donald Trump. He's getting his jollies by being in front of all these people who give mm-hmm. him all the... And I will tell you, and this is really off the record, because mm-hmm. I don't want to damn my boss.
Mm-hmm.
When the economy faltered, we'd been working hard on energy. We'd already started the Columbia Gorge. We were working on...
Land use was beginning to percolate.
Did I not say land use?
Yeah, yeah.
That he was disturbed. Land use was ready to go, and nobody was doing anything.
Yeah.
And we really put the pressure on counties and cities.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing we did, because the economy was faltering. The fishing industry was going down. The timber industry was going down. Agriculture was having nothing but trouble. Because of land use.
Right.
Not because of land use, but because of their perception of the
right.
land use plan.
Right.
And one night I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, he doesn't even have an economic development plan to talk about. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have anything. We don't even discuss it. Mm-hmm. So I went into him one morning and I said, Governor, we need to put together some kind of a strategic plan for economic development. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I called in John Lobdell, and I don't remember who all they were, and we call it the Economic Development, the Economic Recovery Plan, I think it was. Economic Recovery Committee. And we worked night and day.
Yeah.
And we put the whole plan together. And I'm not telling you, Jim, to make you think that it was all about me, but that was one of my biggest disappointments in him.
Mm-hmm.
That he had nothing. Nothing at all. And he let me just roll with it. He just, go do it.
Yeah. And I've just written a part in maybe March or February of 1981. He's down in Bandon. And Bandon is in deep doo-doo because, you know, the timber industry's gone. Fishing is a problem. But they look at Newport, and Newport has redone their harbor so they can get a fishing fleet to be based there.
We were looking at putting a little airport in there, too. That could take delivery of flowers.
Now they do for the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they go into Coos Bay still when they drive down there. Mm-hmm. But in any case. So Bandon put together a thing. They floated a bond for like $1.6 million. They had $150,000 grant from the state, $800,000 from the feds. And this is, you know, this is the third month or second month of Reagan, and Reagan is saying, oh, that grant you got from us, guess what? That office is going to be cut by 75% and go to zero next year. There's no grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so the economic development director is saying to Vic, and Mark Hatfield is there, what are you guys going to do for us? And Vic is so, you just want to slap him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mm-hmm. Well, you know, don't spend any money until you have it, and you really have to make do with what you have. And it's like, give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
So then this guy goes off and he tears into not only Reagan, but Stockman. And so my line there is, within a few months, Vic Atieh would be taking the radical line on Stockman as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just fascinating to watch him not respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it picks up.
Same thing on the repeal of the unitary tax.
Mm-hmm.
We left the negotiations with NEC.
Mm-hmm.
And we're driving down the freeway. Lon and Vic are sitting in the front seat, and I'm in the back seat. And I said, Governor, I know there would be payback if we could repeal the unitary tax, because it would immediately bring us to of the Japanese plants.
Right.
And their word is gold. I mean, the Japanese are just that way.
Yeah.
And I said, I know they like you. They trust you. Nope. Can't repeal any taxes. Not at a time like this. And I mean, he was adamant. I said,
mm-hmm.
So I can remember I sat in the car for a long time in that back seat, really quiet. And I'm thinking to myself, I just know. I just know if we did that instantly, mm-hmm. we would have two major... And it would more than replace what the unitary tax was.
Yeah.
So, before we got to Salem, I brought it up again. I said, Governor, would you consider it? No. I mean, he was adamant.
Mm-hmm.
No. Now, I'm sure inside of him, it was like he was doing something he shouldn't do to entice business. That's the only thing I could come up with.
Yeah.
I remember I even came home and talked to my husband. I said, I don't know how to move him off center. I just know it's the right thing to do. Well, about mid-morning the next day, he called me in.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go ahead, get ready, do it.
Yeah. There's a real sense in that and some other decisions, some of them actually in the Rajneesh thing, where there's, you know, he's set in his ways, something will hit. No. But actually relatively quickly, so 24 hours or whatever, mm-hmm. he'll sleep on it, he'll think, but we don't ever get to see that thinking.
Well, you remember I told you in the very beginning, I realized his mind worked differently than most.
Yeah.
And I got the book about the
Arab
mind.
Yeah.
And
I've gotten three of them so far, and I have not found anything that works. But by God, I'm going to find that book.
Oh, I know it. I wish I still had it. But it was kind of, the way I would describe it is he would tell me, here's A, and mm-hmm. I want it to be at Z.
Right.
And nothing in between.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like the big dark hole. Okay, so why do we want to get to Z, or what's the goal, or nothing.
Yeah.
It was very difficult to deal with that way.
Mm-hmm.
It really was.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is I had a father. He wasn't an Arab, but I had a father that his first answer to everything was no.
Right. Exactly.
And you know that I loved the man, but I tell you, it was frustrating time. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just really was.
Yeah. It's once again, wondering about if there had not been the recessions, what his governorship would have been like. But also wondering what would have happened if he would have not hired you, but hired another version of Lee Johnson.
Well, I think...
Who was basically lobbying him all the time, not giving him straight scoop on anything.
No. He had his agenda, and yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
And to this day, I think it was terrible. What was... Now all of a sudden it's out of my mind. But he negotiated... Lee Johnson negotiated... I was still at the insurance company. And he negotiated a deal... Oh, it had to do with PERS.
Was it the 1979?
It was
with negotiating with the employees?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's called the PERS pickup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and that was Lee's baby.
Yeah.
And I was appalled. I have to tell you, I was absolutely appalled.
Mm-hmm.
I could not believe it. I even sent Vic a note and said, long term, do you know what this is going to do?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, he won't allow it to happen.
Yeah. Well, he backed up his team.
Appalled, Jim. I was absolutely appalled. And that takes us to the... I don't want to get you out of orbit. That takes us to the safe raid.
Yeah. Yeah. So before you get into the safe raid, I have to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where the safe raid came from?
Yep.
And... So tell me your story, then I'll ask the question, because if you answer the question, it'll be great.
Well, he calls me in one morning, and he said, I want you to go over to Safe. He said, I understand that they've got far too much in reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And you know enough about reserving in an insurance company. I want you to go over and see what you can find out. And that was Monty Montgomery Day.
Yeah.
And Roy Livermore, I think, was chair.
Yeah, he's the chair. He's kind of consistent through there as well.
Yeah.
And then Lynn Newbery's on the board.
And right off the top of my head, and I had no basis for saying it, and I'll admit that up front, but I said, Victor, you don't play around with reserves in insurance companies. You just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, that money belongs to the insureds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not if they're over-reserved. I said, well, maybe health insurance is different, but I said, you know what? I'd rather be over-reserved than under-reserved because we got to meet those claims and you never know what's coming at you.
Right.
Well, you go look. So I don't even remember who I went and talked to. It was somebody on staff. Because I knew Monty would be up straight with me. Mm-hmm. And I came back to Victor and I said, well, certainly by today's standards, they have more reserves than they need. And he said, well, I think we're going to go in there and see if we can take some of that reserve to offset the budget deficit. And I literally did say, Governor, I'm going to be so bold as to tell you I think that's a dead-ass wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the words I used.
Mm-hmm.
No, he said, if they don't need the money, we need the money. And he said, I've turned over any had. I mean, he mm-hmm. would call in and he would tell staff, go find it. I don't care where it is. Find me money.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up and shut the door. And I said, Vic, I know you don't worry about being reelected, but this could damage your reputation amongst the small business folks who you... sing the praises for and defend all the time. This is just a strike against them completely and totally.
Mm-hmm.
No. No. And I said, well, you got to explain it to me. His good friend, Jim Campbell.
You just answered my question. Donna said to me, well, Jim said that he came up with this idea on something. I was thinking, safe raid?
Mm-hmm.
So, there we go.
Jim Campbell had called him, and, you know, he had his own little insurance agency.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the brightest insurance man around. Now, I sound like I'm being terribly critical of people right now, and I don't like it, Jim. But Jim Campbell was somebody that came up through the Good Old Boys Network. He didn't know up from down. And when it came to health insurance, he was calling me all the time, and he just did not know.
Phil Lang said the same thing.
Because I just hate
all
to
you insurance tear people. It's just amazing.
Well, I just hate to tear people down.
Right.
But Jim was just going along with the ride. He didn't have to do anything. Yeah. He didn't have to write the insurance. He didn't have to worry about if the insurance company was failing. He just went out and shook hands.
Right.
He had called the governor, and they'd had a long conversation about it. And Jim Campbell was convinced that they were ripping off the off employers, and we needed to get that money back, and this was a perfect time to do it. I said, have Jim come in, would you, and let's us three talk?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, Vic said, that'd be a good idea, let's do that. It never happened. Mm-hmm. Jim wouldn't come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got all hush-hush, but that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Then the other thing that amazed me, oh, Jim, now you're making me expose things that I never was going to tell anybody.
As you'll see when you go through the Rajneeshis, much doesn't make it because there's a flow to a story, and my habit is I want to include every damn thing, but I also say we've got to go from here to there.
I know.
So,
and that's probably the hardest part.
It is, but mm-hmm. as Denny said when he read the election ones, I will stop the story and tell something. So in 1982, election, blah, 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 blah. Stop. Little subheading. We go blow up a sign.
Yeah.
And after three pages, we're back.
Yeah.
But, you know, we really got to go blow up a sign.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Where was I going? Oh, well, now Vic is adamant we're going to do it. I mean, there was no talking him out of it. There was no discussing it.
Right.
It was over with. Jim wouldn't come in and meet with the three of us. And I don't know if that was Jim's idea or the governor's idea. I didn't care. I offered, and that was it.
Right.
Governor says, go over to the AG's office and tell him what we're going to do and tell him to make it legal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So I go over and meet with Dave Frommeyer and... Was it Stan?
I think it was Stan, because I talked to Bill Gary.
Well, that's why I was trying to remember if it was Stan or Bill Gary.
Yeah. I can't remember what Bill told me, because he was involved, but I don't know if he was involved at that level.
Boy, I don't remember. Well, I'll tell you what, though, Bill was in on almost everything we did.
Yeah.
But Stan Long was a different person than Bill Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Long would have fit well into the Washington, D.C. scene today.
Mm-hmm.
smart as can be. And to this day, I adore Stan Long. But it was one of those guys that you have to just say, okay, and then walk away and think it through yourself.
Right.
Well, no problem. We can do it. So we went from there and started having meetings. And, of course, Monty Montgomery blew up, and Roy Livermore was mad. And I thought, sure, Len Newbery would come through and sit down with Vic and talk some sense into him. And I don't know, truthfully, if he ever did or not.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly not to my knowledge. And it got pretty cantankerous. I can remember sitting over there in the conference room. And mind you, no governor. It was always me.
Right.
Sitting in that conference room, and boy, they were angry as can be, and they weren't going to relinquish, and finally the fist came down and said, this is the way it is, this is what the governor wants, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And Jim, I literally was physically sick over that one.
Yeah, I can imagine. It seems, I mean, with the governor's, the only story Bill Gary tells about is... Monty Montgomery coming in to sign things for the Oregon Loggers and Safe and literally having a hat with two sides. It's like, you know, do you have no shame? Apparently not. But...
And that was one of the governor's best friends.
I know. But just ethically, it should have jumped out But it didn't. Now, so looking at this, put it in a context. Is this Vicatea, or is this Vicatea at the end of his tether because he can't find any more money and the budget is in deep?
Oh, I think that had a big bearing on it. Mm-hmm. I think that had... He, you know, we did do the tax surcharge, mm-hmm. but he didn't want to. It was the wrong time, in his opinion, and I had to agree with him. If we could do it without taxation,
right,
we would all be better off. His biggest problem was everybody was talking about recession and economic downturn. He said, we keep talking ourselves into the bad times. Why don't we turn it around? Let's talk our way right. out of it. Let's get positive. Let's get something happening. And he felt that any additional taxes would just
right.
be the debt. I mean, we were cutting everything,
yeah.
and we had nothing. Jim, it was really bleak. I mean, people have, when I say this last little tiny recession was nothing compared to what we were going, there was nothing happening.
Yeah.
There was no building. There were the fish. We couldn't bring in the salmon. There was a big war over the salmon. Mm-hmm. The timber industry was dead.
Yeah.
Agriculture couldn't sell their products. It was horrible. Yeah. Absolutely horrible. And I think he was desperate to save our state and make mm-hmm. sure that people weren't standing in food lines, and he did get a lot of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember being at governor meetings and governors saying, Vic, what are you doing out there? I don't see pictures of guys in food, people standing in food lines. We were the worst in the nation.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that we got through what we got through. And I think Vic was hurting.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can say it, that he was actually hurting.
Mm-hmm.
But then, Jim, that just takes me right back around. Why wouldn't he sit down and let us strategize about what we could do to turn the economy around?
Right.
I just...
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. The whole... Because he started up his Council of Economic Advisors a year before the group that you headed up. So we had the...
They served a different role.
Let's do the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are... Let's find some solutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that tension is always there. Tension is always there. Then when it gets into especially the international trips, but it's also going to California for companies and Saturn and all those other kinds of things.
The movie
then
industry.
He just switches totally to getting business. And it's like, well, that's good, but there's still the other side. So it's just
But he switched to his niche.
Yeah, he switched to being a salesman, which he was good at.
Yeah. He loved to do the glad handing, and he loved to feel good, and he got a lot of strokes, and I'm not putting him down for that, because I've been there, done that myself,
mm-hmm.
and it does help.
Yeah.
But that's where he got real comfortable, and I'll say this, I'll probably regret it, but that's when he just really, I mean, Jim, off the record, mm-hmm. it was my show.
Oh, yeah.
Off absolutely. The record, it was my show.
Absolutely.
He wasn't there.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. And I already have you enough of record to put that together in ways that make sense and are not that bad for the governor.
I hate to say it. It sounds terrible.
But no. But
and I'm not trying to pump my ego. Understand?
No.
That sounds like I'm excusing myself now, but I'm not. I never did, even when I worked for him. I could care less.
Yeah.
I remember Norma Paulus calling me and saying, Jared, you got more power than anybody else in the state, and you need to use it. What?
Yeah. Not my job. Yeah.
But it's funny, when you said you were coming down again, I've been holding all this stuff in my head, and I thought, yeah, maybe I'll just share a little bit of it.
Well, that's good, because I keep talking to Denny about various other things, and he says, oh, check these files. It's like, and I don't say, Denny, we don't have those files. You have those files.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't going to be in the book. And that's fine,
mm-hmm.
but I can't check the CNEs on 1978 because you have them, and you have not given them to us. It's like, okay.
But see, there was another thing that used to bother me, Jim. Denny could manipulate Vic like you couldn't believe. Now, and I don't mean on the big things.
Mm-hmm.
He never, ever made a decision based on what Denny told him.
Mm-hmm.
But he could get things from Victor that I wouldn't have had the audacity to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when he was writing something, and we were out of office, and I was with him. We went to have lunch with Vic. Vic let him go in his little back office and go through all of his files. He walks out with all of his appointment cards. I said, Denny, I don't think you should take those. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I have to have them because I'm writing my own memoir and I need to follow the... Well, he kept most of them. And Vic let him do that kind of stuff. I would no more do that than...
Yeah. There's a crucial meeting that I need to find, and it's on the 6 months that we still have not pried out of Denny.
That you what?
That I need to find this meeting, and I have a news report of it, but I would really love to see how many meetings there were. It's the creation of the kicker.
Oh, yeah.
But that's 6 months. That first 6 months of the governorship is not there. Those cards.
I told you, he kept some of them.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that's so wrong. See, you're letting me just spill my guts. Sorry, Jim.
That's good.
I've been, all these things have been inside me for so long. I was so frustrated in that office. Oh my God, I was frustrated. It's the same thing with he redid the Oregon seal and he minted some silver.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden there weren't any more for us to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's got them?
Oh.
I could go on and on. And he'd fight. Oh, Denny would fight with Pat Amadeo. He'd fight with Kate Duran. He'd fight with everybody. Oh, and he came over here and got some of my files. And I said, sure, but I want them back, Denny. Well, they came back, but guess what? A couple of his evaluations are missing. Well, those were evaluations where I was telling him if he didn't straighten up, he was going. Those evaluations are now gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
But he, like a dumb fool, said to me, boy, oh boy, you know that first evaluation you did of me? Yeah. He said, that was really hard on me. That was really tough, but I really appreciate it because you called it the way it was, and that gave me an opportunity to do some other ones. I said, well, do you remember your second and third evaluation? No. And after he left, I thought,
mm-hmm.
They're gone. He didn't want to trail.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
off and on.
Yep. Fun stuff. So let's go to, do you want to hear where the kicker came from?
Yeah, I do.
I've nailed it down.
Yeah, I do.
I've nailed it down. So in 1979, it comes in as part of that. So that's not where it came from. It's part of Measure 11, which was the legislative response to mm-hmm. property tax in 1978.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's great. And it's like word for word in that measure.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, wow, where did this come from? So I trace it back, and it turns out there was a special committee that was appointed for the special session during that election.
Right.
And so they appoint the special committee, and it turns out that the special committee, Senate and House, splits into two. Earl Blumenauer is the chair of one, and Jack Ripper is the head of the other committee. And Earl Blumenauer's committee, which is basically designed on the Ripper committee is for property tax stuff. The Blumenauer committee is for income stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's how they divided it up?
Yes, that's how they divided it up. And then they came together, voted on it, and that's what they recommended to the legislature, and they passed everything the next week. And so the Blumenauer Committee says, well, you know, one of the big issues is that we keep having these surpluses. Because the surpluses, they were having hundreds of billions of dollars of surpluses every year.
Yeah, that big time.
Yeah, that's in 79. That's why they were able to give. They took 700 billion.
Was there like 700? Yeah, I was just going to say, wasn't there like 700?
Well, they didn't. The surpluses were 700 million-ish, but that's not the true surplus. The true surplus is smaller, but then they took stuff out and said, we want to give it back. And so, well, that's fascinating because Earl's committee comes out and says, what we need to do is when the budget is bigger than we need, they didn't say 2% or anything. They said, we need to put it into specific programs. And they specifically said property tax relief and education.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The next day, the other committee reports, and there's a guy who's a senator from Cornelius, who, as Bill Grinnell eventually told me, a policy wonk he was not. a guy named Hanlon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Hanlon comes in and says, well, you know what we ought to
little
do?
Tiny
and
guy.
He's got three specific points. One of which is, if the income of the state is 2% over the projection, the entire surplus should go back. It's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I had. And so then I sent off notes to Tony Van Vliet, who was on the committee. I've got another call in to Earl, because he's on August recess. I'd love to talk to you about this. Bill Grinnell, I tracked him down. He's a medical missionary or something in Mexico.
Oh, really?
But I found him, sent him stuff. He then sends me email back, and he responds, and he gives me this big whole thing. So here's what the real deal was. As Vic suspected when I interviewed him, it was Jason Bowe the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And Jason Bowe never wanted his fingers on legislation, because if his fingers were on it, people would try to fight him. And so Jason Bowe had this idea, and in this special session, a special committee, he put together the plan that Hanlon presented.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Hanlon had an ego where he'd say he could very easily think it was his plan. Mm-hmm. And so they go and they do this whole thing and they put it in place. Then it fails. The voters say no. So then next year, it comes back in a weird way. Vic has promised that if his property tax plan is rejected by the legislature, which it was, that he's going to put it before the voters. He's going to have an initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So his plan fails. They go on to what eventually became their own plan in the legislature. And lo and behold, LB Day and Bob Smith come out in February and say, we've been meeting with the governor. Here's the governor's initiative. And in the governor's initiative is this 2%.
There it is, right there.
Again, the House passes its own plan. There's no 2% in there. It goes to the Senate. The 2% is there. And so I initially thought, wow, Bob Smith was actually able to convict, you know, basically get all those Democrats to go along.
No.
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 No. What the real case is that either Vic and Bob and LB Day, probably all three of them, they knew that Bo was going to put this in there. So they just wanted to be ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But the Senate then said, yeah, we want to have that in there. Then they put together the conference committee. And the conference committee has Bo sitting on it and Hardy Myers sitting on it. As Grinnell said, this is a strong message that you need to go along with the Senate version.
Yeah.
And boom, we get the kicker. Vic's initiative goes nowhere. They spend $25,000 and they get, as far as I can tell, 4,000 signatures of the 54,000 that they need. God knows why. I don't care. But it's basically Jason Bowe, and it goes through all these interesting iterations. We now think of the kicker as, oh, that was the legislature.
Oh, yeah.
Doing, you know, this, yeah, and the other in 1979. It's earlier. It's Jason Bowe. It took two shots. It has this interesting... this is where I love, you know, Vic, you need to be alive, because there are things you didn't tell me or you didn't remember.
But you know, but this. Now I'm suspicious, because he and Bo were pretty close.
Yeah, no, I have a great thing Grinnell said that says something like, to the effect, if it was good for Jason Bo, it was good for Vicatino.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm wondering, if he and Bo cut a deal.
Yeah, yeah, they very easily could. Then talking to Vic when I interviewed him in 2013 about the kicker, because that was one of the first questions I asked. It was on your watch, and quite frankly, it's been a disaster.
Yes, it has.
And at that point, he said, you know, at the time it made sense, but it doesn't make any sense anymore, and I didn't sign it, but I would have vetoed it if I'd known. Well, he did sign it.
He said he didn't sign it?
Yeah, well, because there was a package of three bills. He didn't sign the property tax, but he did sign the income tax side.
And he let the other portion go.
Yeah. But then finding out that he and Smith and Day were having these meetings on his own initiative, and it went in there, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, Vic, your fingers don't look clean on
no,
this.
No, no.
They don't look clean on
mm-mm.
this. But... this is the kind of thing that I love doing.
Well, I love you're doing it, too.
Digging
I love it.
It's like, wow, that's where that came from.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So it's, and the other context from that 1977-79 legislature, this is the one where they eventually strip Phil Lang of his powers.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And who's the judge?
Yes.
Who's the one who's the head stripper?
Mm-hmm.
Is Brunell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's the, and Earl is on the Lang side. Grinnell is there as a coalition with the Republicans. You know, we're on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So that more conservative thing makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Beau had the same thing. He appointed, well, he just didn't appoint liberal Democrats from Portland onto committees.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pissed off. So when this special committee's going through, Beau says, well, here's who I'm going to appoint. And he appointed a majority of his acolytes.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked with Brunell, who was on the special committee, since Lang wasn't making appointments, there was a special committee making appointments. He talked with them, and they loaded the committee, House and Senate, so to go with whatever Beau proposed.
You must just drive yourself nuts.
It's a blast!
I'm telling you, I just would love to follow you around doing all this. This is incredible.
Just a blast.
And you're telling me things now that, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I'm going to get you napping for your glass. That is just too good, Jim.
Watching our legislature now, I don't think there's anybody who can do that.
No, you know, I was going to say to you, think about those guys that were involved.
Yeah. I don't think there's any...
They were all the honchos, and yet they all got along.
They all got along. They all went fishing together.
Yep, played cards.
The first violation of the open meeting law was at Jason Beau's house.
I believe it. I absolutely believe it.
Oh, this can't be a meeting just because everybody's here.
That's right. No,
it's my house. We're just hanging out.
Well, and then you got OLB Day, the biggest blowhard in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, the first week I was in the governor's office, he knew me. We knew each other well. I could hear him yelling my name clear down at the Senate chambers. Thompson, why didn't you do blah, blah, blah? And I think, okay, here it goes.
Here we go. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Jim, that is fascinating.
So, yeah, it's just...
And I love it because you're beginning to kind of... pull everything in now and
yeah I told you when I was writing I wrote what I thought was way too much on the about Vic's legislative career.
Mm-hmm.
But I was only focusing on things that would become relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in legislature a long time. Things became relevant. I talked to you about Measure 97 that we just went through. That's Mark Hatfield's proposal that Vic Atiyah carried in 1963.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. And then in 83 or 82, he brings it back. That's his initial proposal for the gross receipts tax.
Yeah.
It's Hatfield's that he carried. And so here we are, you know, so clearly, wow, I'm glad I put that in there because it was really relevant.
There it was, yeah.
But
and he and Mark were very, very good friends.
Yeah, they were very, very, very good friends. Mark was an honorary Young Turk.
Mm-hmm.
But I had just... in the 77 session, which is not that great a session, and it kind of cuts off because Vic decides he's going to run for office, and so we just go get that election done. But I put in there about Phil Lang's being stripped of powers, and you know, that's just kind of a paragraph, a little aside, isn't that neat? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's the middle of the story. Oh, I'm glad I already have that in there. We didn't need more than a paragraph because at the time, you know, well, whatever.
But you know,
but all of a sudden it's like, oh.
What you're doing, you're the only one that's going to pick up those old trails.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's fascinating me.
Yeah.
Is that if you weren't doing this, those old trails are gone.
Yeah, they're gone. They're gone. On along those lines with that ED that I asked you, if you remembered, that initial.
Oh, I got some stuff on that for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I came across a memo to John Yunker that had that ED thing attached.
Uh-huh.
So I sent off an email to John Yunker, and I got a note from his wife saying that he has memory issues and he's done.
I wondered about John because he's not. Well, I talked. I've got it on my face on my tablet. I talked to her name is Margaret Loftus, and she and I all the time I was there, I didn't know Margaret at all.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, but she obviously knew me and knew of me and.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Just a minute. Excuse me, Jim.
No, that's all right. No, no.
I wonder if I could use the restroom real quick.
No, unless you got a quarter. Hey, you got a quarter?
I got quarters in my car.
Leave a quarter on the back of the table. I'll take it.
Okay.
Straight down the hall and to the left.
Thank you very much.
You don't even need to ask. Just come in.
Thank you.
What was I saying? Oh, Margaret. So I sent her, I didn't send her your email, but I sent her one and said that you were the biographer and mm-hmm. you'd run across these. And she said, well, she'd find Rich and find out, because Rich is off on vacation somewhere.
Okay.
But she said Rich would probably know.
Yeah.
And she did find Rich. And she said, if you could send to him via email the charts.
Sure.
That way he'd be able to figure out who it is.
Yeah.
And that was the message I was going to send you.
Good, good. Also, because I've done a lot of specific things on taxes. And so I'm going to ask Rich if I can run by big chunks of chapters.
Oh, yeah, Rich would love it.
Which he did. Remember that document I did on different types of taxes?
Mm-hmm.
I ran that by him, and he had lots of good little tweaks.
Isn't he a great guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved and Rich was, he was my stalwart.
Yeah. He's amazing. And, you know, when did he start doing this stuff? When he was 12?
I know it.
Jeez, I find you in the 1963 or 65 legislature or something.
Uh-huh.
How old are you?
I know it. It's smart.
Yeah.
He knew that, you know, and he and Vic really got along quite well.
Yeah.
You guys doing okay out there?
Yeah, we got the whole thing sprayed. Now we're just trimming and cleaning up.
Do you really? Yeah. You gonna be done today?
I don't know if the weather's gonna let us be, because once it gets so hot,
yeah, and it gets
cleaning the gutters doesn't work. So
no, you guys need some cold water?
We've got a bunch.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you. If we aren't done today, then we'll be done in a few hours tomorrow.
No problem.
Thank you.
Rich.
He and Rich would get in long tax discussions. They really enjoyed each other, I think. I don't know what Rich's version was, but that's
yeah,
the
no,
version.
Yeah, he enjoyed it, although there was one line I had, and Rich was exactly right to do it. I had Atiyah prided himself on knowing more about taxes than anybody else in state government.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich said, any other elected officials in state government.
Good, Rich. Good catch.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, good catch. That's neat.
Yep.
I'm sorry you can't talk to John Yunker, but that's okay.
Well, no, I interviewed him. I got good stuff from him.
Oh, good.
The best line is when Straub came in, because John was at that point deputy assistant. I mean, he was moving up, but mm-hmm. he was in the top of wherever he was at the time. Straub comes in and he does Willamette Greenway and he mm-hmm. does a couple of other things. And John's line is, well, when you were elected, we kind of thought you'd have a longer list of what you wanted to do. So that's there.
Wow.
Because that's right. Straub.
Yeah.
And seeing Vic's lack of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
McCall didn't have the imagination either. He picked things up.
Well, McCall didn't do anything. He just attached his wagon to whatever was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where he was very talented.
He was extremely talented.
Jason Bo could have an idea, and the next thing you know, it's McCall's idea.
Yeah. But there's nothing generated there.
Mm-mm. No.
And thinking
and
about
he had
it,
good staff.
He had very good staff.
Don't tell Denny that, though.
No, Denny has said that they were pretty good staff. But it's just stunning to just kind of look at it.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. People get elected. This is what I tell people all the time. When you run for election, that's never what you're going to govern on. It's never what's going to happen. You got to come in with a plan. And they don't. And I think, you know, I don't know what kind of governor Kate Brown's going to end up being. I think she's kind of middle-ish now. But one of the blessings of the way she came in is she didn't have to do
no,
that
she didn't
stuff.
Have to.
She just said, what is Kitzhaber doing, and I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a if she can then make stuff her own, and so far we really haven't seen that, but if she can make stuff her own, then that's a really good way to kind of ease into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just wild.
Poor Kitz Hubber.
Yeah, yeah.
I still want to know what went on behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, now that he's more or less back out in public, I'll ask him, because I need to interview him for this.
Well, I know something was going on, more than the public knows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but I'll save that for the next book.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I've gotten you way off track.
Okay,
so. Okay.
No, we've done staff relations with Jenny. That's good.
Oh, that was on your list?
Oh, you betcha. Where does Safe Idea come from? We've done that. Okay, so in 1982, there's a special session that's the longest in history.
We had, what, three of them in 82?
Yeah, the first
one. Oh, this is the long one?
This is the 37 days. So here's, I have not dug into it in detail yet. However, talking to Hardy Myers, the Speaker of the House, Barbara Roberts, the Majority Leader, Paul Hanneman, who was the Minority Leader, they don't recall any of the homework and work with you guys in the governor's office that they had with every other special session. So they got there and basically looked at each other and said, so what do we do? And so what do you remember about prepping for that session?
What did we do in that session?
That's the...
We had three of them. That was the long one.
That was the long one.
Was that the long one? When was Fadeley president?
This Fadeley is president at this point. He gets booted in
83. Okay, I'm where I need to be.
Yeah. 83 is when he has his last one where he says, oh, we can have a sales tax as long as every city in the state approves it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oddly enough, that didn't work. And shortly after that, his own caucus booted him and put Kitz Hubber in.
Okay, well, that so was, this, and that's why this session was prolonged.
This was Fadeley.
Yep, it was Fadeley, and we had the agreement. And I don't know, they had to have been in the meetings, but if I still had my notes, I could go back and look.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, they remember, for instance, in the 1980 session before you got there, we're going to cut $200 million. Man, there was prep. That thing was done in 5 days.
Yeah.
Then we got judiciary stuff. Hardy's in the middle of that. Boom, that's like a one-day or two-day session. The other 1982 ones were also boom,
that's
in
right.
and out.
We had to have it. Fadeley blew it up.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole negotiation centered on Fadeley. But I'm telling you, we had those people in those sessions.
Mm-hmm.
We were meeting in the governor's conference room.
Mm-hmm.
The old Board of Control room.
Mm-hmm.
We met time after time. Sometimes we meet morning, again in the afternoon, and Fadeley would not bend on anything.
Right.
That's when I told you that Vic drew, he was so frustrated, he flipped the flip page over and he drew the railroad track. And he said, we're all on here and you're here and it's not meeting and you got to do something.
Now, was that during the session?
Yeah, we'd already called the session.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the agreement had been made.
Okay.
And then Fadeley caused the snafu.
Because as far, I mean, once again, I haven't gotten into the details in a huge way, but it's a $100 million shortfall as compared to the $200 that had been done before. Mm-hmm. So
Fadeley, I think, had just become president. And my mind's foggy on this, but he was president short time.
Yeah. No, because Jason Bow was president through 81, I believe, or 79, and Fadeley just has come in. So Bow's last thing was that special session in 1980.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
He's got a swan song there.
Fadeley had just come in, and I thought, if this is going to go on.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard Denny tell the story where media would just be camped.
Right.
And we'd come out of there and they'd expect the governor and the governor to have anything.
Yeah.
And then when we finally got it,
they were
somewhere else and Denny had to go find them.
Right.
It is a good story.
Yeah.
No, that was all Fadeley.
Okay.
Fadeley was the trouble and the whole thing was trying to get Fadeley off. Everything was ready to go.
Right.
Except Fadeley backed out.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it was his game plan just to make everybody miserable.
Yeah.
He got the attention, and that's where we were. Oh, Vic was mad. It's one of the few times I really saw him very, very angry.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, because fascinating with looking at... Gosh, I was just talking to the City Club about a week ago about this. When you look at multiple session things, timing is so crucial.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty common... See this with tax reform all the time, but also other ideas, that the iron is hot, but the people don't vote until here, and the iron ain't hot anymore.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And I don't know if Vic's idea, where he finally said, okay, we'll do a sales tax if it's connected to all these things, I don't know if it would have passed in 83 or not, but by 85, it was clearly too late. That chip had passed. And the main reason it's in 85 is because fatally dinked around in 83. And all that time was lost of his wacko plan and, you know, all that other
stuff. He just loved to do that. That was Fadley's game. He just did that all the time. He was, besides that and the women, he was...
Yeah.
I had to ban him from my office.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did I tell you when I was talking to Phil Kiesling? Phil Kiesling was a page and was being shown around, and they showed him the storage rooms underneath the place where people sit in the house chambers, and Ed was in flagrante.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right
yeah.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. He'd come in my office and shut the door.
Yeah.
And I finally said, out.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Out. And then he'd come beg to see me. I'd finally let him come in if security was standing at the door. There'd be no closed door.
Exactly. Security reminds me of a question that's not written down here, but from when I interviewed Lon Holbrook, who was a delight and told me lots of stories
that will not be
in the book, but
I know, but good
they're
stories.
They're on tape.
Yeah, good stories, right?
Exactly. One I may put in there, just because it's wacky, is Vic the gun guy never hunted.
No.
Oh, yes, he did, because Lon took him out there.
Oh, they were doing the rats or that.
Yeah,
that's not hunting.
I know, but it's a step beyond what Vic always said.
And I don't think he would have ever done that had Lon not been the
instigator. Oh, I know. No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Isn't Lon a sweetheart?
Yeah. It was great. Where was I going with Lon?
Security,
right. Lon remembers at least twice when Rajneeshis came to the office.
Mm-hmm.
But he remembers that they had meetings with Vic.
Never.
Yeah, I don't think there were meetings with Vic.
I can tell you that flat out.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I don't see any evidence of it.
Vic would not meet with him, and we wouldn't let Vic meet with him.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah.
So Lon is dealing with him in the outer office.
Mm-hmm. No, there was never, ever, ever.
Okay. Let's see here. So we were just talking about the gross receipts tax idea. In 1982, he's won re-election. He says, once again, he's got all this political capital.
Mm-hmm.
And his words in the days after the election were basically... Not much. Yeah. He basically said initially, what I want to do is, by God, the legislature has said no to me several times on my property tax, and we're going to do my property tax. It's like, nothing's changed. Do you remember how that shifted fairly quickly to like November to December, how that shifted to the gross receipts tax?
I really don't.
Okay.
I mean, that's just a dead issue to me.
Yeah.
We didn't do much.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I don't think we did diddly squat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
He may have had discussions with Rich.
Yeah. He may have. Rich was never in favor of the grocery store tax.
No, he was not.
Actually, I just read an article by one of the journalists I work with. Because I think it's the OEA, is gathering signatures to put another gross receipts tax on the ballot. And they just had to pull it because the wording was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in the reporter calls it a sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sales tax in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-mm.
And so I sent her that document that I put.
Oh, good, know, yeah.
Said, and not saying, don't call it a sales tax, but here's something that I did for myself to help out. Pages 4 to 7, kind of interesting. I want to look at them.
But how many of them in a meeting really understand the tax?
Oh, no, they don't understand it. What ticks me off, though, is the Ted Ferrioli's office, they were answering the phone in his minority office, and their greeting at one point was the home of stopping the corporate sales tax.
No.
That's how they were answering the phone, and it's like, you know, I'm glad politics is good, but, and Ferrioli doesn't impress me in the slightest, and Mike McLean is our U.S. attorney? But in any case, but lying to people, there's a lot of reasons against this tax and for this tax, but a sales tax is just lying.
That's right.
So, that's just me.
I know, but those things are getting worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just shake my head all the time anymore.
Yeah.
I have to turn TV off because I just can't take it anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Bob Smith, the budget guy, who I loved when he would sign his memos and sign them ex-Bob. So you knew that wasn't Bob Smith, the other guy. In a couple of memos, you're not very happy with him.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know there were memos out there, but...
Well, it's just reading between the lines. Positive generally, negative, did he get in the way of policy... kind of a bureaucrat who couldn't see bigger picture. I mean, what was your impression of him?
He was a real enigma. I'm the one that took him out of that job.
Mm-hmm.
Moved him over to start the state lottery.
The one that I, the memo that caught my attention is May 1984, so the lottery comes that fall, so...
Oh. Okay.
He's out of there.
Yep,
okay.
Yep, that's what I did with him.
Uh-huh.
You know, Bob was a good guy. He was the kind of guy that could do in runs.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew, I mean, I don't know how it is these days, I don't know how they're organized, but executive department was our right hand.
Right.
And I would use John Yunker more than I would use Bob.
Mm-hmm.
I could trust John. John would get the job done. He'd come back with all sincerity, whether it was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. And Bob was kind of the person that I don't like to work with, who's always patting you on the back and saying, whatever you want, Jerry, we'll get you, and you get nothing.
Right.
And that's the only way I can describe it to you. It was not anything specific. It's just that it was not a lack of trust.
Right.
I just didn't feel confident with him.
Yeah.
And he did pull some things with their agency heads. Mm-hmm. They'd come to me and be very upset. But those things happen.
Yeah.
They weren't. It just was time to get him out of there.
Yeah.
It was time to get him out. Period. Yeah. End of subject. Yeah. I dumped him in the lottery and he wasn't very happy, but that's where he went.
It's fascinating because one of the things with politics is it's people there. You know, there's your Republicans or Democrats and mm-hmm. you've got all this philosophy, but it's people.
It's all about people.
Yeah. So one thing that Hardy Myers found when he really got to know Vic better, Hardy Myers worked well with Gary Wilhelms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Gary Wilhelms left, and mm-hmm. Paul Hanneman became the minority leader. And
he didn't work so well anymore.
And so Hardy would talk to Vic, in effect, as the minority leader of the House. And that's when he got to know Vic a lot better. But it's just because of that personality thing.
And, you know, Hardy would come see Vic a lot.
Yeah.
So did Vera Katz. Vera Katz would come in and visit. A lot of the Democrats. This is what always fascinated me. A lot of the Democrat legislators, especially the new ones,
mm-hmm.
and I know that they wanted to get next to the governor and they didn't know for sure how to do it, but it ended up not being that. they'd want to come in and visit with me, and I'd introduce them, take them into the governor's office.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, they'd come back and want to visit with Vic. I need his advice on this, or I need his advice on that, yep. Which was wonderful.
Yeah,
it really was, but yeah. It was more Democrats doing that than Republicans.
More Democrats than Republicans, and it also leads to something that Rich Munn pointed out, which is, because as I was talking to him, I said, so was Vic more a super legislator?
Good
or
question.
Was he a governor of the whole state?
Good
and,
question.
For instance, you can look at our current president, who's neither a legislator nor a president, but he's just governing for his electorate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing he's governing for. Like anything done, but that's all he's doing. And Rich thought about it long and hard, and he said, you know, he was a super legislator.
Mm-hmm. I think
McCall was a whole state guy who then had staff who was really good at making the connection.
Right. His staff was very good at that.
Yeah. I mean, the people would look at each other.
McCall was floating along
exactly.
up here.
Exactly. And then Bob Davis would say to the legislative leadership, here's how we're going to do this.
And did you know Bob?
No.
Oh, I loved Bob.
Yeah.
Bob and I were very good friends.
Yeah. So it's just
you know that Bob Davis was Rajneesh's lobbyist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, as you're going to read there, I was trying to peg down when you had that crucial meeting with Sheila?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I came up with the date.
Mm-hmm.
But it's his death that's the crucial thing.
Yeah.
Because Sheila, they were here.
They were flying
and all of a sudden, you know, I think that's about it. And then you say things like 2 days before, blah, 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 blah. And then 2 days afterwards, KD's our guy.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
But Bob's death, and then I couldn't find any evidence of it, except there's a memo from Bob Oliver who talked about talking with Bob, because Bob and Bob were together in McCall's office.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob Davis stopped being the Rajneesh's person.
Mm-hmm.
And the only evidence I have is this memo, contemporaneous, that Bob wrote saying, I was talking with Bob Davis about why he had left or leaving. Or
was that a memo to me?
It could have been.
Because I remember Bob telling me, and usually Bob communicated with memos, but I remember him saying that Bob had left the Rajneesh's, which surprised me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't, because I knew he was getting tired of all the crap.
Well, the crap seems a lot of it come from antelope people.
Yes, 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 yes. Sure did.
Yeah. So here's what I've just been doing here. We talked about governor's office staff.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the personnel numbers. So max is 40. So it starts and ends with 24 people on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
But then up, so this is under Lee. There's something going on there. And then you come in, you know, kind of right in here.
Right in here, yeah.
So it's a low point, but then we're you're doing things. And
yes, sir.
Right. And the bathroom is just down here?
To the left.
Okay, thank you.
And never comes back up. And a lot of this is special project kinds of things.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'd love to take that and I look at this and then this, and I say to myself, what the deal?
Well, you guys had several things where people were in for like 8 months or something, and their time's up.
This is where people started peeling off.
Yeah, you can see the peeling off. So yeah. You're not there after a bit there.
And I wonder who was in here.
This list, I've got the list, too.
Interesting. I wonder who. I got rid of a lot of the, not a lot, but a few of the, I don't remember what they called them, administrative assistants or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were floating all over the place.
Yeah.
But the main thing we did not do, at least under my tenure, we didn't utilize agency people as employees of the governor's office.
Right.
And I'm glad we didn't.
Right. There was an attempt to get that to happen
mm-hmm.
under Lee Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the committee didn't even do mm-hmm. anything with it.
Heck no, I was too afraid to go before the committee, the legislative committee, to get my budget approved.
Exactly.
That always tickled me. Here I am, governor's chief of staff, and I got to go beg for employees.
Yeah. It's crazy. Crazy. Let's see here. Sticking with governor's stuff. Actually, answered this question myself a couple of days ago. We've talked about dealing with the recessions in the budgets. So there's always you guys bringing in the agency heads. Revenue gets just worked to death.
Those poor guys. They were cranking numbers all the time.
They're cranking numbers all the time. I just finished writing about them getting the computer system. And how that wasn't necessarily better than Paul Egger until you kind of worked it through for a while.
Yeah.
But it gives you many more options, and especially that council of advisors.
That was
tremendous. Because you're hearing opinions.
That council of economic advisors was brilliant, I'm telling you. Yeah. And the governor would say, can't you just give me good news one time?
No, exactly. The very first meeting that they have, there's a picture taken with the governor. So this is before you come. And Ed Whitelaw says, when they're all told to smile, Ed Whitelaw says, well, that might be the last time you get us all to smile.
Yeah.
And then I include, because in October of 82, so a year and more later, you say, Whitelaw's getting too damn political. I have to get rid of this guy. So I just put that in there.
Oh, stuff comes back to haunt you, doesn't it?
But
And the Port of Portland was the one that kept getting political. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Drove me nuts.
And it still is a weird thing. I was talking to Mike Thorne about that because Neil appointed him to be the executive director. And saying, oh, when Neil appointed you, he said, no, the board appoints. It's like,
yeah, come on.
Break.
That's right. Come on.
The board is entirely there for the governor. You know, and the governor every appointment the governor is making happen.
That's right.
But just, they were the center of so much international stuff, but old-style international stuff.
Well, and it's the typical Eagles, Jim, you know. And this is where I admired the governor. He truly did, and he practiced it. If you don't worry about who's going to get credit, if the job gets done.
Right.
And I believe that myself. But right. I've got to tell you, the Eagles we had with Packwood,
yes.
Some of the folks in the legislature.
Yep.
Port of Portland was the worst there was. Lloyd, what was his name? Frank Lloyd? What was his name? Anyway, he was the absolute worst.
Right.
And then we had people on the Economic Development Commission. Oh, they were so bad.
Yeah.
Got rid of them.
Yeah.
And they were governor's good friends.
Yeah.
It's that darned old ego that gets in the way.
Exactly. Oh. Well, let's see here. Here's actually lists of people who were in the governor's office. This is 1983. So this is just my marking what months they were there.
Mm.
That kind of stuff. So you can just see.
No, I just want all your files. I don't know why I do them. It'd be fun to go through them. I don't even know some of these people. Dana Campbell?
So some that are there just short, you know, some of them, they're there forever.
Evan L. Ewing. Interesting.
If I did that for all 8 years.
I made Denny cut his staff down.
Do you know why Tim Marsh was let go?
I don't remember.
Because that's when Denny's gone and Dave Piskum is there.
I don't remember. I do remember that, but I don't remember why.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny went through a lot of employees.
I can imagine.
Betty Maudlin, you know, was my assistant that I got rid of and got in trouble for.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was Lee's.
Yeah, and you know, that was a real dilemma. Because when I went in, I thought, gosh darn, I don't know diddly squat about anything here.
Yeah.
And I need somebody that knows, that really knows the players. And I knew that Lee and Betty knew the players well. And I interviewed, which really upset Betty. She mm-hmm. thought I was being very unfair. And I said, I'm sorry. If you come out on top, you come out on top. If you don't, mm-hmm. you don't. That's mm-hmm. the way it's going to be. Well, I kept her. And then her husband ended up over at PUC
yeah.
under John Lobdell.
Yeah. I was pointing this out to my wife. I was like, look at this, because that name is familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
But he used to be a reporter.
Right.
Then went into PUC.
John Lobdell hired him, which shocked me.
Huh.
Now, he was a great writer,
mm-hmm.
speech writer. In mm-hmm. fact, they were ticked off that we didn't hire him to write speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Lobdell, I think he quit. I know we didn't get rid of him, but I think he was the one that sat in front of a legislative committee and said, I don't have to take this shit anymore.
Exactly. I got that in somewhere.
God. Anyway, he was really fed up.
Yeah.
And I liked John a lot. John helped me with the economic recovery plan.
Yeah.
He really did. He stuck by my side all the way on that. Well, then, I can't remember, Gene got into some big controversy. Huge controversy. And I literally, my style was, okay, we're going to have to do something about Maudlin. We've got to get him out of there. So I had sat on a yellow pad and did the pros and cons. You know, what's mm-hmm. going to come down on us and what would be good. And, of course, it was heavily weighted toward
mm-hmm.
get rid of him. And then I had just kind of penciled in what my recommendation would be to the governor, just kind of notes mm-hmm. to myself to, it was my, and I had put it in my desk drawer for when I met with the governor when he got back. Hadn't done anything, hadn't talked to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was all here.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call that night at home from Betty Maudlin, and I have never heard so many foul words in all my life. I'm telling you, I'm like this. And I finally said, Betty, stop. What is wrong? You're trying to fire my husband, and by God, you're not going to fire him. You're going to be sorry you've done it. Betty, how do you know this? Just never you mind how I know. Well,
there's only one way.
Yeah, she obviously had gone through my desk, which really...
Yeah.
I mean, she could have yelled at me, and I could have gotten beyond that, but you don't go through my desk.
Mm-hmm.
So I called her in. She didn't come to work the next day. Then she came in. I called her in, and I said, Betty, I'm sorry. You're going to have to pack everything up and leave. What, you're going to get rid of my husband and me too? I said, there's been no decision on your husband, but there is a decision on you.
Mm-hmm.
You do not go through my desk. You may be my assistant. That doesn't give you privilege to go through and read confidential things. I saw what you wrote about my husband. And it went from there and got worse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lee got drug into it. It just got uglier than ugly. I'll never forget that one.
Yeah.
And then I fired the... She called on the nursing homes.
Oh, the ombudsman.
Yes. That was ugly. Yeah. That ended up in the paper. Yeah, most of those employees I remember. Very well. But isn't that interesting?
Yeah. This is just the totals for each month.
Mm-hmm.
You can see them go up
then
and down
This is where I came in.
This is actually 82, I think. This is actually 83. So we can go back here. There's you. You'll appear somewhere right down there.
Mm-hmm.
Boop. September.
Mm-hmm. And then we went back up. I wonder why we went up. I don't know. I'm glad Carol Whitney didn't stay with us. I'm just being honest with you now. Jackie Winters needed to be out of there.
Yeah.
It was good that Shirley Woodrow left.
She's certainly not the personality, but she was like Denny. She just had to feed straight onto the governor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was out of there. Edie Schmidt, she was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Phillips was a pill the whole time. The whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't interviewed him yet. And actually, he's a relatively minor player.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That it,
no,
I
mean, he really was.
It would be basically because he's from Pacific.
Yeah.
And he's involved with, you know.
Yeah.
With this. But it's like, what sense of entitlement did you have at age 23?
Well, he did. I want to tell you, he did. Like I said, to this day, he won't speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he kept saying, well, you gave a deal to Denny. I said, no, I didn't give a deal. You just go look at the records.
Mm-hmm.
I saw somebody's name there, and it just reminded me of something. Now it's gone that fast. Don't get me on Paul Phillips. That's what does it.
Chases other things out of your head.
Poor Jim Russell. He's got memory problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's somebody I wish I, you know, once again, if this project started when it ought to have.
Yeah.
10 years ago. Sidelight, I just was looking through, because did you see Ed died, Ed Atiyah?
Yes. Yeah, I got a call on it, yeah.
Yeah, I got an email from Tom.
That's the last of them.
Yeah, it's the last of them. But if I had started this project when I ought to have started this project, Jim Russell was a major, major player there for especially the first couple of years.
He was a good guy.
And, you know, Bob Oliver, who was there the whole time, Bob is just fascinating. The more just kind of digging into things, there's a lot of Bob in there. And, you know, I'm with Bob, I see incredible loyalty to the governor and doing a job. But I also hear from people that, you know, they didn't see him as the strongest link in anything.
He wasn't.
And so it just, I would love to have talked to Jim Russell, who's kind of the other half of that
legal
side.
Yeah, Jim was what you would expect from an attorney who really dug into things.
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully and frankly, Bob was floating.
Mm-hmm.
He really was. I mean, mm-hmm. he'd been a state government employee for a long time, and he knew how to float.
Yeah.
If you called Bob and said, I need this or that, he would get it done. But he had a way of inserting himself.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a placeholder name is the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Funny guy. I liked Bob. Don't get me wrong. I liked Bob a lot. And interestingly enough, I trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was willing to walk either side at any time.
Yeah.
But you knew when he was with you all the way.
Yeah.
And one time I had to call him on the carpet because he may have told you the story. I got word from state police that before he married Judy, he'd been, you know the story.
With Dwayne Samples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, he talked about it as being really embarrassing because he had to take a blood test or
mm-hmm.
a lie detector test or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I had to mortify him.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a second episode like that, which always made me question, Bob, what are you up to out there?
Yeah.
But he was single.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
And then Kay Turan, I had the income tax evasion. Judas Priest, that's what we needed. I got word on that one. I got the cold sweats, I want to tell you. Now I got this, don't get me wrong, but I've got this black girl that I got to call in and say,
mm-hmm.
you can't work here.
Mm-hmm. Just amazing. Just amazing. Okay, so two more questions here. End of everything. Who ran the transition to the Goldschmidt team that they didn't take advantage of in any way, shape, or form?
I don't know that anybody ran it.
Okay. Because I got I got a folder, I think, from you.
Well, I put together something.
Yeah.
Before I left, because
okay.
that was my worry. I
right.
had said I'd stay to the end.
Right.
And the company said, no, I got to have you back. And I said, no, I got to stay to the end. So the president of my company and Vic negotiated a date. Then I got really worried. Well, now I haven't got time.
Right.
So I remember I put together just stuff out of my head that needed to be done, but I don't think there was.
See, you arranged it very nicely. Got the everything in there.
I don't know that anybody did anything specific. Everybody was so mad at Goldschmidt, and Goldschmidt wanted mm-hmm. nothing to do with any of us.
Right.
Nothing.
Well, I've heard from Bob Oliver, as a matter of fact, but a couple of others that they reached out, but they never heard back on anything.
That's probably what happened.
And Goldschmidt eventually, he put together the most wacky thing. It's like a 14-member team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as compared
to
Travis and Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
It was all this stuff.
Right out of the National Governor's Manual is what it was.
Yeah. And then I think I told you, Jill Thorne gets there the next day, and no one has a key to the office.
No.
And Jill knows her way around the building, so she goes and gets security who opened it up, and then nobody can find the light switches. And Vic gave the key to Neil.
Mm-hmm.
But Neil didn't think mm-hmm. that was his issue mm-hmm. to give the key to anybody else.
I was so angry at Neil Goldschmidt. I was just... And then Barbara gets elected, and what was her...
Oh, Patricia McCaig.
She calls me one night crying. I mean, just... I didn't even know who it was. Mm-hmm. And I did not know Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
She's crying. Can I meet with you? Well, yeah. And I'm thinking something's wrong with Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
No. Nobody told me how hard this job was, and I don't know if I can do it, and I need... And please don't tell anybody I called you. And she's just beside herself.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, well, sister, you're in for a ride. You better get moving.
Before I ask you the last question here, I'm going to actually be in the governor's office tomorrow.
Good.
Mainly because I just want to have a physical sense of where offices are.
Oh, really?
Do all that stuff. So the Board of Control room, you know, how Glenna's office was between your offices, you know, that kind of stuff. I just want to have that in my head. But writing this book, if Nick Blosser, the new chief of staff, is there, I would like to say, so how's the job?
Well, you should.
Because it's just fascinating, to, especially doing the whole thing on Lee and then switching to you, just seeing that and watching, you know, Kate basically inherited a chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
That was strange to me.
Yeah, very mm-hmm. strange, but...
But there are no choice at the
no
time.
No choices, because the Secretary of State staff wouldn't have those skills.
Mm-mm.
They just wouldn't have
Mm-mm.
those skills.
Mm-mm.
And so it's just it's always
know,
just fascinating.
You got to know the players, and that's the thing that was my biggest concern.
Oh, yeah.
Having, yes, I was working in Portland, but in a whole different area.
Right.
And I was the biggest scaredy cat when it came to knowing the players. Who really should be close to the governor,
right.
and who really shouldn't be, and who right. do I have to protect him from, and
right.
I didn't know anything.
Yeah. So when you came in, who played that role introducing you? Was it you just feeling it out?
Yeah.
Was it the governor saying, oh, Jason Bowe, you
know,
no, he's the guy?
No,
or,
never got. You know how you kind of have a sixth sense?
Yeah.
And Glenn, of course, is...
Yeah.
You can't see this. And you don't need to know who I made an appointment with the governor for.
I do have Glenna in there as her snafu in the 82 campaign with the picture.
Mm.
And I don't know if it'll segue into letting Glenna go or not. But that's what Vern Duncan's main question was. What happened to Glenna? And when I saw him last, I said, well, let me tell you what happened to Glenna.
Mm-hmm. And he said...
Well, he was sorry that she had...
Because she would chit-chat with all those guys and say, I'll get it to the governor. And 9 times out of 10, it never got to the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I had to get rid of her. I knew I had to. And I knew Victor wasn't going to like it.
Yeah.
But he said, okay, whatever you think.
Well, in his oral history, then, he puts it in, isn't it amazing that I had basically had 3 secretaries in my entire legislative mm-hmm. and government career?
The last one.
And the last one stayed forever.
Well, and she had everybody, even I started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hear the governor say, Robin, what's so-and-so's number? And then I was doing, Robin, what's so-and-so's number? She must have had a photographic memory. She was incredible.
Yeah.
She really was. I was going to say something. You and I shouldn't get together, Jimmy. It's dangerous.
No, it's very good.
It's dangerous. We had some good backroom staff, though, we did. We had some good backroom staff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't remember what I was going to say. It's gone. Oh, let me see. Are you done with your notes?
I have one more question.
Go for it.
So after Atiyah leaves office. Okay. Did you follow how the governor's office was organized after that? I mean, we talked about it briefly that you didn't have people from the agencies kind of as the governor's people.
You mean, did I follow how Goldschmidt did it?
How Goldschmidt did it, but Goldschmidt starts something that seems basically to be the case to this day, where they'll have, like, political people in agencies and things like that.
Yeah.
Did you follow that closely? Or?
I did for a while, but not real closely.
Okay.
That's the one thing we did not want.
Yeah.
My view, and I don't know where Lee was on it at all,
mm-hmm.
and you'd go to those national governors meetings, and of course there was always how to organize the office and that mm-hmm. thing, and every year it was something different.
Yeah.
So I finally said to myself, forget it. We're going to do what works for us. I didn't want political people in agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of because Vic said, I just want you to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put your head down in the trough and not come out until I'm gone because you're not going to outweigh me.
Mm-hmm.
Just do your job. We'll handle the politics.
Mm-hmm.
You do the job and I'm here to support you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way, I guess, we governed. That was the role we played.
Mm-hmm.
We were very close, though, to the agency heads. Probably closer than Governor Census.
Yeah, well, simply by having the weekly meetings.
Yeah, and really, we were very, very close to the agency heads.
Yeah.
And the agency heads knew we were there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I will always pride Vic's administration on that fact, because those agencies knew they could pick the phone up and call me at any time. I think they knew that whatever they had bothering them, I would be sure the governor knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
We would resolve it, but the governor would be aware of it. Never did I hide anything.
Mm-hmm.
We just had, I think, a different relationship.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. One, what the governor said. Two, for budgetary reasons. Three, I didn't want anything hidden anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it was. If we were going to have somebody represent us, that was going to be listed on my list of staff, not paid, agency paid.
Right.
I didn't want anybody coming in and saying, what are they doing?
Yeah.
That's the only explanation I have for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not intentional, just that's the way it went.
Yeah. That's fascinating because early on, especially the 78 election, 74, it's like the national Republicans didn't care that Vic was running.
They didn't.
But in 78, Carroll described several funny things. But one of them was the Republican National Governors Association showed up and told her how to run the campaign.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she smiled, mm-hmm. and she said thank you, and showed them the door, and ran the campaign
mm-hmm.
in a very successful way. But she was, it's amazing to look at the 78 campaign, kind of the last of the statewide campaigns we had that's kind of the old style. It's volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. There's television and all that stuff, but it's really person to person. When Denny runs it, that's not there.
Mm-mm.
It's the governor's in person,
mm-hmm.
but it's television, television, television.
Oh, yeah,
television.
He's a media person all the way.
And in your notes, which are fantastic with your contemporaries notes when you're on the phone with Paul Newman and stuff.
I don't even remember those being in there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. One of his suggestions was that you guys hire Roger Ailes.
Yeah, yeah.
And thank God you didn't.
I know. Do you know how that? And you know how you do something and it goes in this ear and out this ear because you know you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember how long ago it was I heard his name on TV and I thought, oh my gosh!
That's the guy!
Yeah!
That's the guy. But it would have given your campaign would have had a totally different flavor. I don't know if I'll talk to Paul Newman. I got so much on him. Denny offered to connect because he's read the stuff and knows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing a tell-all on Paul Newman. But Paul Newman was that era was kind of like the nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
As the Republicans were turning into the Lee Atwaters
and the
Roger Ailes,
they really were.
Where you're not nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so Vic's campaign in 82 is a tough campaign, but it is not a negative campaign.
Nope.
It's based totally on facts. And you go, whereas Roger Ailes was...
Well, Lee Atwater was not too far from
that
himself.
No, and Lee Atwater, who then, when he had brain cancer, called all these people up and apologized to him.
And yet I liked Lee Atwater.
Yeah.
To sit and have a drink with him, he was just a peach.
Yeah.
Funny. Fun to be with. But on the other thing is, you know, Vic wouldn't support Ronald Reagan, and oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of the funny things is when Carol was getting it, she got a call from Lynn Nofziger. And just because she said, I'll check with the governor, Lynn held that against him. Probably when you were around, too, that's still that animosity. Probably dates from that 78
campaign. Oh, sure.
Campaign.
Sure did. Sure did.
And that's one where I do have all the CNEs. They're buried, but I found them. And so I can go through and, like, say there's Victory for America, whatever Reagan's thing was, and there's Ford's. Good. They came in. Everybody got them. We're happy. But loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
Well, quite honestly, I ask myself if we'd had it. I mean, we were treated well in the White House. This meatless little girl from Salem, Oregon, never thought I'd ever be in the White House in the president's office.
Mm-hmm.
But with Ronald Reagan, had we not had Bush,
yeah,
I don't think we would have ever been in there.
Yeah, I bet you. I would bet
Bush
you're
opened
right.
The door, and we spent a lot of time in Bush's office.
Yeah, yeah.
But never with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And we made friends with the guy that was in charge of intergovernmental affairs, but I'm sure that there was a lot of animosity.
There was a lot of animosity. And then in 82, Vic is running against Ronald Reagan. And you look at the bath Republicans took in that election.
Yep.
It's like, well, so the successful one was to run against the sitting president. Just saying. And the fascinating thing in that is the balance. Kulongoski will not take off after Reagan. He does a couple of times. But he says, I can't do this because Oregon voted so much for Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
It won't work for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Vic.
I know.
Pitchfork in hand.
Isn't it ironic what happens out
yeah.
there? I liked Ted as a person. I really
mm-hmm.
did like Ted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Vic did too.
Yeah, he did. I mean, did I tell you what he said the last couple of times I interviewed him? He liked Barbara a lot.
He did, and he showed it.
He liked Barbara a lot, but he would go camping with Ted.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Well, I hope he didn't go camping with Barbara.
Yeah, well. Barbara, one of the stories, she might have talked to you about this, one of the stories that she wanted to tell at the memorial service, but she didn't because Dolores and the family were there, was some ex-governor thing, rainy night, they're down in McMinnville or someplace, and Vic is already there, and she makes it there, and he comes over, and he says something along the lines of, oh, thank God you're here, but I hear you just got a boyfriend. What am I going to do now?
I'm sure he did say that. I'm sure he did say
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And she said, you know, that was Vic to a T.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you don't want to say to the memorial service.
No. And in today's age, it'd be
exactly.
called a sexual harassment for sure.
Exactly.
He did, you know, he did, like, he didn't care for Frank. But he did like Barbara a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's because Barbara had a soft heart.
I think she had a soft heart, and then there's also just the being an ex-governor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there is a...
Mm-hmm. And Frank didn't know what that was.
No. No. Well, I think Vic and Frank probably got into it a lot in the legislature.
They did, but not... It's nothing that's in the book. The only thing is Frank was the one who called the roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so Vic would always say no. So at one point he owned up and said, Representative Attia, could you let me know if you're going to say yes? if you're different than what I expect, it screws up the entire rest of the role.
You know, and now see, you got my mind, every time you're with me, Jim, you just get my mind spinning. But, you know, I think Victor really, really, really loved his political life.
I think so.
And I think it was also a welcome relief from the company.
Yeah, which he never wanted to be in the first place.
No. And I just think he was glad to get rid of it. And then when his son got in trouble, I was amazed at how he took his brothers on. And yet I know in my heart he was glad that his son was out of there.
Yeah, yeah. And knowing Tom and knowing David, there's no way Tom should have run that company.
Tom, how can a couple like Vic and Dolores have two children like Suzanne?
I know.
It blows my mind.
Suzanne, by the way, I've communicated with many times, never talked with her. She's just not going to be in the book. I will use a little bit from her because of the memorial service, because I got the DVD. So I'll tell her little stories about growing up in the building, mm-hmm. which I haven't incorporated in yet. But that's all I'm going to get from her. But
she's wacko. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hate to use the word, but she is wacko. And that was our biggest problem when I was working for him, was figuring out where Suzanne was, what was she going to claim next.
Yeah.
Tom, we never heard from.
Yeah. Never. Well, he's older and he's off.
He doesn't even seem like their child.
No, although he looks exactly like his grandfather.
Yeah, he does.
Exactly like his grandfather.
Yep, he skipped a generation, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I know it. And you know, Dolores, Lee Johnson had a lot of trouble with Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
I never had one ounce of trouble, and it might have been because it was female to female.
Mm-hmm.
She never demanded anything. The most she demanded was, can you get me heat in the other half of the house? But that's all.
Yeah, that's good, because out on the campaign trail, I've got several stories where she was hell on wheels.
Well,
at hotels.
Yeah, I was always told that, too.
Stuff, and
never did I have a problem.
Yeah.
Not ever, but yeah, I used to get that, you know, and I'd go calm people down.
Yeah.
But she, can I tell you one story off the record, though? We took all of the elected legislators, Republicans, over for, we were going to do some brainstorming, and I think we were at, then it was the new Hilton, they were right outside of Newport.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we were all having a good time. And Vic had met with all the legislators, and we'd done our thing and had dinner all together and gone to bed. Telephone rings.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dolores. Have you heard this story? Can you get a hold of lawn or security? Jerry, there's a woman next door to our room. She's screaming and making these awful noises, and I'm worried that she's in real trouble. And I said, take care of it, Dolores. Don't worry about it. Hang up the phone. Get a hold of Lon. And I said, Lon, I don't want to hear about it because I think I know what it is. I'm going back to bed. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. It was one of our staff members with the state treasurer. And, of course, the next morning, Dolores is saying, Jerry, did you find out what that was? No, you know, they never got back to me, so everything must be...
That's great.
Oh, God. I tell you, she would have had a fit. Oh my God. Then we were down in... where's Hilton Head? Is it...
North Carolina, South Carolina.
I never remember whether it's north or south.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at the Hilton Head.
I think I've got pictures of you guys getting there and going into the water.
Dolores had to walk, and that was the ugliest ocean. It was brown. There was jellyfish everywhere. It was horrible. But anyway, we're all checked in there. It was a governor's meeting, and we're doing fine. The first thing that happened to me, I just must be naive, because governor wanted me to go do something. I'm probably getting more cigarettes. And I was the only staff member. So I get the security that's been assigned to us, and I tell them we've got to go to a store. So we get in the car and we're driving. And I notice that on every street corner is a group of blacks standing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, wow, no whites, just blacks. This is really strange. So I finally said, is there a reason all these blacks are standing on the street corners? Oh, yes, ma'am. They have to be off the island by sundown. Okay.
That's where we're having the meeting?
I've never been exposed to anything like that at all. Well, that same trip, I'm in bed, And I hear this loud noise, but you know how sometimes you hear noise, you just mm-hmm. ignore it, and I get this rap, rap, rap on my door. Security saying, Mrs. Thompson, stay in your room. Do not come out of your room. Oh, okay. I'm thinking, what in the world? Well, pretty soon I get the tap, tap, it's okay to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was Vicatia's room, and the sliding glass door had exploded. I said, what would make it explode? Because, you know, my mind's going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, it happens down here all the time. When the air conditioning comes on in the morning, it's hot and humid outside. And
air pressure. Yeah. Yeah, exactly the wind as you want in a hurricane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and people say, boy, you must have had an exciting time. And I think, if you only knew the stories that stay in my mind, they're not at all what you think.
It's wild.
They were fun to travel with.
What's on your list?
Oh, that's right. I did have a list.
You have a list.
Well, I was just putting some thoughts in my mind, but I think I've got them all. I mean, we've talked, you've got everything you need on special sessions.
Mm-hmm.
The surcharge. Didn't you say you wanted something
about
the surcharge?
Tell me about the surcharge. I haven't gotten to that point in my writing.
You know, that was just one of our ways of finding additional money.
Yeah.
Was
there any consideration that there was going to be a referendum on it to take it to the people?
Yes, probably there was. I won't remember it precisely, but I'm sure there was, and it was immediately decided no.
Mm-hmm.
No, at this time, with all that was going on, we didn't have time to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We had to get it done and get money flowing.
Any fear that the Oregon Taxpayers Union might take it?
We were always fearful.
Yeah.
But we never really had any problem with them. I mean, they would, but they never really caused us big heartburn.
You were much better at gathering signatures than the governor, let me tell you.
Oh, you don't need to, you know, try to get him to get signatures or to raise money but you know what? What struck me strange is that when we did that surcharge, we also did the cigarette tax,
mm-hmm.
which the governor was a huge, huge smoker.
Mm-hmm.
We did the business tax. What did we do to the business tax? We increased it, but I can't remember exactly what we did.
Because there's also a cigarette tax from the 81 session before you get there.
Yeah, but we did it again.
Mm-hmm.
We increased it. Anyway, you know, when I think about the governor and some of the frustrations I had with him, he had to have a lot of courage to do some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think he had more courage than some others would have had. In that respect, I will give him huge credit. Because when he needed to do it, he stepped up and did it.
Yeah. In a Republican Party and a country that is clearly saying we need to cut taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I'm going to be writing when I get home is 1981, Jack Kemp comes out to Dorchester.
Mm-hmm.
And says, welcome to what the tax cuts are that we want, you know, as the centerpiece of Reagan's program.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, even before the tax cuts, Reagan is just zeroing out all these domestic budgets to build more ships for the Navy.
Yep.
I
think that's where the governor was, you know, he was decent to Reagan, but he never really ever
mm-hmm.
got into the fold of Reagan.
Yeah.
He just didn't.
Yeah.
And I never really, I always wanted to really have a long discussion with him, but never did.
Yeah.
Because I think I told you my good friend was,
even
in his books.
Well, in 1980, he told the Reagan people, it's the first convention he doesn't go to, it's the 68.
Mm-hmm.
He tells them he'd do anything. And then T.A. says, I never really figured out what they expected to accomplish by sending me to Alaska. I could tell you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that strikes me is we talk about today. Well, I guess I already did say it to you. Trump is out there talking to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Vicatia had a real way of communicating with the people.
Yeah.
He really, truly, it was hard to find somebody who really didn't like Vicatia.
Yeah.
But it's because he made them feel it was okay, that he was there for them, and...
Yeah.
And yet he had that low key. I'd watch him talk, give a speech, and I'd think, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. Even his written speeches, it's like, where's the point?
I know.
Where's the point? I have a great line from, when in 78 when he and Straub are going against each other. There's an editorial in the Salem paper that says, we've heard Vicatia talk for 20 minutes without a point whatsoever. And Bob Straub, you don't want to ask him a question.
No, it's true. It's true.
But, you know, either of them be all right as governor. It's like, even his written stuff.
Oh,
like,
I know it.
Really? But speeches are like that now.
But yet his wheels were going. Yeah. I mean, no matter where we were, he was always making notes. Yeah. Hand them to me. Hand them to me.
Yeah.
His mind was just going, which I wish I were a psychiatrist, because if his mind was going like that and he was thinking of things.
Why did it come here?
Yeah. I mean, and is that the Arab way again?
Pull teeth to get him to brag about things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's just odd. In 74, as Vic was running the first time, Vic made it really clear that he did not like to campaign.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He did. That was, Dolores was the person who liked out there shaking hands and all this stuff. And just fascinating to just kind of, I just have that quote and him. And we just watch it. And clearly by about a month out from beating Clay Myers, he all of a sudden looks around and says, this is actually really cool. And I don't know if it's a salesman, you know, the psychiatric
thing.
I
think it was.
It's a salesman thing. It's a personality thing. But whatever it is, he just gets into seeing the state and meeting people.
Because he really did like people.
Yeah.
He really, our problem with him, though, is that we take him to an event and say, now you got to work the room, Vic. You got to work the room. And I'd always be about 5 feet off, keeping my eye on him. He'd get himself stuck, like with you.
Yeah.
And that'd be it.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't talk to anybody else.
Yeah.
I have to go over and say, Governor, I need you a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. He genuinely liked people. And, of course, he loved Eastern and Central Oregon.
Yeah.
Just absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll have it in there. Probably a little blur, but that's his portrait.
Mm-hmm.
His portrait is not Beaverton.
Mm-mm. No, he was a fine, fine man. He really, truly was a fine man, but wow. Hard to understand, man. Ooh-wee. He was very hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he shared it himself.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how his brain worked. I think that's all. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
Oh, I know you knew all this, but I was just kind of going through an inventory in my mind. And I'm thinking about, he started off with that god-awful tax relief package. Then we went into the energy crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We had Mount St. Helen blow. Oh, geez. And even though that's clear up there, it made a mess here. Were you here in Oregon then?
I was not. Vic was governor exactly when I did not live in Oregon.
Oh.
But I was down at Stanford and running a big bunch of things in the summer as an undergrad. And my assistant director was from Stanford, but she went to Lewis and Clark. And so she showed up in a car that had to be trashed because it had no paint left.
Well, not only that, it was sucking that stuff into the engines, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Our car was covered. And we had to drive to Portland. It was like you were driving in snow about that deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Unreal. And he couldn't get the Carter administration to give him a declaration of emergency.
No, no. Mm-mm.
Well, it's worse than other places, and we think the local sources could take care of this. Like, you come out and shovel this stuff.
Besides, it turned to cement.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally did. When it got wet, it turned to cement.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And then he had the land use planning, and I'll give him credit for that, too, Jim. Mm-hmm. You know, the laws had all been passed. It was ready to go, and nobody was doing anything.
And the fascinating thing about that is, he was doing that. He would have done that without a recession.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of his original things. Right. It then becomes part of his three-part thing of let's recruit, let's make it with your commission so that, in fact, there's one-stop shopping and lower regulations and land use. But land use predates all that.
That's exactly right.
LUBA comes in. You know, Lee puts that together.
And we had a lot of trouble with LUBA.
I can imagine. I just passed the thing where the appeals court says, guess what? Luba can be there, but doesn't get to make any decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well?
But he got after the counties and the cities and sent me out on the road. You go in there and tell them they got to get this done or they're not going to, we're not going to bring them any prospects for their communities.
Yeah.
He really got after them.
Yeah.
Which surprised me. He really did. And he got it done.
Yeah.
He got it done.
So, Earl Blumenauer, that's when Earl really, really, really learned to respect Vic.
Really?
Yeah. Because Earl was, you know, he was there when land use was in the legislature. He's an environmental,
You know,
liberal Democrat. He was against Vic in every election.
Oh, absolutely.
But he said, boy, you know, he's the one who made land use work. Because it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It was just idling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we found every problem with it and got it corrected, and he really did work that baby.
Yeah.
He really did. Those are the kinds of things he did, but they were already there.
Yeah.
Or they were handed to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of is the way it comes down in my mind.
Yeah. Because I'm writing about the crises right now. So the first part is just kind of a recitation of how the economy changed while he was in office. Not even in governorship, but like from 1970 to 1990. Mm-hmm. The service industry goes from 15% to 28%. Timber goes down. Mm-hmm. You know, high tech begins. There's a lot of people at tech, but all of a sudden there's a lot more companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that kind of stuff. But looking at it, sometimes it looks like he's just kind of surfing what's happening. But there's, when you get after him and when he figures out I can go recruit,
mm-hmm.
he just takes things by the scruff of the neck and says...
We never saw him again.
Yeah, you never saw him again. But he looked out there and said, as Mark Hatfield had clearly said, our economy isn't diversified at all.
That's right.
We've got to do it. But tech was already there, and he said that Tektronix was the reason he was able to recruit.
That's exactly right. If we hadn't had Tektronix, I mean, that was basically the anchor.
That was the anchor, and really cool that they had a long-standing relationship with Sony. So Morita all of a sudden becomes a best bud.
Well,
and all this, it's
and
just...
See, and that's what the other thing, he went out there and built these long-lasting relationships.
Yeah.
With people in the company.
Yeah.
Unbelievable how he could do that.
Yeah.
And they trusted him.
And they trusted him. And you can see why no governor has done that since, because it's hard to do, and you're out of the office.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And this was a situation where it was had to be done.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he was willing just to go and get it done.
Yeah.
Because we did have to do it, Jim. It was awful.
Oh, yeah.
I was scared for our state.
Yeah.
I really was.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Kind of like I'm scared for our nation right now. Yeah.
It all works out in the wash.
It does. It's amazing.
I've been giving a lot of talks to groups on Trump, pro-Trump groups and anti-Trump groups.
Really? Both?
Yeah. And the funnest thing is giving my students tools so they can talk to each other. It's like, I don't want bumper stickers, no opinions necessary here. Here's analytical frameworks. Trump fits into them.
Mm-hmm.
Use them. And see
That's
what
marvelous.
Works and doesn't.
I've got a granddaughter. Could I send her to your class?
Sure. Absolutely.
That's absolutely. Wonderful. She's the typical... She came out of George Fox.
Mm-hmm.
She went to work for one of the big five accounting firms down in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Got tired of that culture. Now she's, I think, with eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Seattle, is it, I think? Mm-hmm. She's in Seattle. I can't think if it's eBay or Amazon. I think it's eBay. Oh, I don't know what happened to her. I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, she is so radical. And I don't care if the kids think like me. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're the same party. I don't care what your philosophy is. But be moderate in your conversations.
Mm-hmm.
She's made enemies in her family.
I can imagine. There's a lot of that.
Oh.
One of the things that happened on our campus was there's a group of, I mean, there's a lot of really liberals on the faculty. They think they're liberal. They're not really that liberal. but on Facebook, one of them supported Hillary Clinton and the others just savaged her because they were all Bernie Sanders supporters.
Oh, my gosh.
And she came to me and I said, well, there's a simple way to solve this. You can't go on Facebook.
That's right.
Social media is built for that crap.
That's right.
And they refuse to do that. But they're just feeding on each other. And it's, so when I go give talks to groups, I say two things. First of all, there's a freedom of speech exists in this country, but the freedom to change people's mind doesn't exist. So yelling at each other, saying they'll agree with me, won't work. Don't do it. Or turn it off when it happens. And the second thing is, don't look at what Trump says.
That's right.
What he does. Budgets are life. Even when he says, here's my tax plan, which we still don't have a tax plan.
No.
It's still 7 bullet points on a single sheet of paper. Until there's an actual plan, you can be for, against, or whatever, but you don't know what's going to happen.
But see,
you just don't know.
But that's where I get in trouble. That's where I get in trouble talking to a Trump person. How can you say what you're saying because you don't know?
Yeah.
You do not know.
Yeah. I did one of my regular things on KXL early on, maybe in February or March, and I said, you know, blah, 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 but, you know, there's still no X plan, and one of them was the tax plan. And so Lars Larson, their designated guy, sends me an email, and he signed it. I'll respond to anybody once if they sign it. If it's anonymous, it's gone.
Yeah, right.
And so I sent back and said, Lars, there have been campaign promises, and there has been nothing written or even articulated about what the tax plan is, except he's going to cut taxes big.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a tax plan.
Hugely.
And so he responded again, and I said, no, I'm not going to respond to that. So I sent it off to the main person I work with, the news director, then sent it to his boss. And I got a note from Lars's boss saying, I apologize for Lars. I have talked to Lars. I told him not to abuse you because you're an amazing resource for us.
Lars wouldn't like that either.
No. It's like, you know, there's still no tax plan.
I don't know what that guy's doing.
No.
I do. Don't leave your name. I'm not returning your call.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go, Jim. But I tell you, I do think electronic media is getting us in trouble.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you do about it because it's deeply embedded now, but... Okay, got it. Oh,
I'll be going to physical therapy.
Oh, I've got a good friend that died, and I'm in charge of her estate.
Oh, we just redid our wills because my wife's retiring. One thing, because she's been an executor and I've been deeply involved, so we found a nonprofit to do it.
Did you really?
You bet. It's like, you know, we're not going to give it to friends, family, anybody else. We have this nonprofit. And if we go batty, they'll run all of our stuff for us.
So, a non-profit.
Yeah.
Because, see, we've got institutions that will do it.
Right. And we worked with, my grandmother had a trust with U.S. Bank Corps.
But I don't like that.
No, I don't like it. They were really good to her because when she lost her mind, she demanded that everything be what her husband had told her, my grandfather. So everything was in T-bills that got about 0%.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, we'd like to be able to pay for her to stay in her place. And so they started up with a net of $600,000. When she died, there was a net of $600,000.
Oh, great.
Because they spun off income like it was going out of style.
Yeah.
But they won't take small estates. Like $2 or $5 million is their limit. And
well, so but I've got one here in town that will. But you know what? They set this person's estate up in such a way that they were going to make buku dollars off of them, mm-hmm. just administering it. That bothered me a lot. Wait a minute, there's a conflict here.
Yeah.
And we did move before they got too bad. We got it moved out of there. And I'm happy now where we are. But that worries me when they're
Yeah.
Set them up so that they get... The attorney's offices are setting them up so that they make buku dollars off of them.
That's crazy.
So when you say nonprofit, what...
It's called Impact Northwest.
Uh-huh.
And it was recommended by our attorney. And it turns out one of their offices in Forest Grove, so they're right by my office.
They're in Forest Grove?
Well, they're it's Portland. So Jeff Kogan, who used to be the Multnomah County guy, just had a stroke. But he was actually ended up being the executive director of this thing.
Okay.
And so I don't know exactly how many pieces there are to it. But there are people. And so our will and everything says when you get to this point, send it to them. The signatures are ready.
See, that's so much cleaner because and I think it's an unkind thing to do to a family member.
Oh yeah.
They, you just put them right in the middle of a hornet's nest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I even think my friend put me in a hornet's nest.
No, it's nuts. It's just nuts.
Well, I'm going to check into that if you don't mind me doing it. Cuz I don't want my kids. I know there's always trouble, but
exactly. And that's like my sister has been estranged from the family for a long time, and my mother wanted to make the estate such that the kids would have to get together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like, A, it's not your choice, and B, you're kidding me.
It's a nice thought.
If she doesn't want to do it, that's just the way it is.
It's a nice thought, but...
Yeah, that's not...
I've got a son that's estranged from the family. Mm-hmm. And I know there's going to be trouble there. I know there is.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to be with his siblings, then I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, my dad, after my mom died, he remarried pretty quickly. A wonderful woman, but she has a family.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad brought most of the assets in, and they made a trust. But looking at it, if my brother or sister decide to go up to that trust, they can just tear this thing apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Dad, I'm glad that made you happy, but if you needed a better attorney, and you need to do this in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with the eldest of the woman's children. The two of us are the executors. It's like, give me a break.
Oh.
All I hope is that whenever they go, they will have spent the whole damn thing.
Yeah. Well, you know what my husband used to tell my kids?
Mm-hmm.
When we're both gone, there's one penny left. I miscalculated. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Oh, life's troubles.
So anything else?
No. Anything good. I can do for you?
Nope. I think we're good. I will, of course, be, asking you questions as we go along.
Oh, I know what I knew there trust. Was something I want to talk to you about.
Uh-huh.
This is way off base. It's way too early.
Mm-hmm.
But these thoughts keep coming across my mind, and I've been watching it happen here at Illahi. When the book is done, I'd be happy to help with book signing ceremonies.
Cool.
I thought you'd be the perfect book signer. And like down at Illahi, I could get most of the Illahi members to come.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Plus anybody else.
Since I got to tell you, reading the Salem paper, for a long time there, everybody who was anybody had every fundraiser in the world right here.
That's right. That's exactly right. Still that way.
Didn't matter what political party or whatever. It's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I know. It's still that way. But, somebody else just had a book signing down there. I don't even right now remember who it was. And they had quite a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a good crowd.
Yeah.
And I thought, gee, if we could hook up that way through some of the other clubs. And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, I'd be willing to help.
Good.
If I'm still sane and able.
Yeah. Even if you're not, that's perfect. Yeah, actually, I already have my first book talk scheduled for December.
Do you really?
They scheduled it in January. And I said, well, I don't know if the book will be done yet, but I will ideally have a complete first draft done, and I'll have lots of stories and pictures.
Well, but do you realize how interested people are in that? I mean, you have no idea how many people down here say, Jerry, when's the book coming?
Oh, yeah.
How soon's the book going to be out? I mean, I've got all kinds of people calling me, talking to me. When's the book going to be out? I had a friend whose mother and father lived in a different state, and the mother was having a terrible time with the father because he had Alzheimer's, and she was writing letters to her daughter all the time, either crying the blues or apologizing for having cried the blues.
Mm-hmm.
She compiled all those letters into a book,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, come on. Oh, my gosh. She's been all over the United States
mm-hmm.
with that book,
mm-hmm.
having fun with it because yeah. people want to hear those stories. They right. relate to it.
Right.
And I know people would relate to stories about Vicatea.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because they still say, well, now which governor did you work for?
Yeah.
Vicatea. Oh, he was a good one. He was the best we had.
Yeah.
Or they say, who?
Exactly. The chapter that's going to make the difference is that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's, I mean, all the other stuff is nice. I'm writing long because I need to understand what's happening. But that's going to be the...
Have you heard anything from Les Zeitz at all?
No, because I would like him to read this, but he's also a competitor, and I would like to do it...
Well, you know,
like after it's like at the press or something.
Well, you know, he's asked me a couple times.
Yeah.
And I've said...